We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
KD, KA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company.
The future really did begin here. The world's first scheduled broadcast was made from Westinghouse's
KDKA.
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 Listen as we share 100 years of KDKA radio.
Climb aboard our magic carpet for a montage of memories. Radio's finest hour.
Someplace special.
Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Mangino. During the course of the rest of the year, on Wednesdays in the 8 o'clock hour, we are taking a look back at KDKA history. And we started off last week with a lot of talk regarding Larry Richard and him taking over the morning show. Well, he took over the morning show from one of the greatest ever on KDKA, at least in my opinion, maybe the greatest ever, John Cigna. Left an impression on me that stands to this very day. And I'll never forget when I got the opportunity to meet John for the very first time. I was hired on here at KDK in February of 2010. Had worked part-time for about a year and a half or so. And then that fall was my first spaghetti breakfast. And it just so happened that John Cigna was going to be there. And my program director, who brought me on, said, I want you to sit down and interview John, because coming up in November of that same year, we'll be celebrating our 90th anniversary, and I want you to do the interview with John, is what he told me. And by that point, I had been in talk radio for 15 years and interviewed all kinds of different people. Governors and attorney generals and congressmen and celebrities, and the list goes on and on. And I had never been nervous about interviewing anybody before. But I got to sit down with John at the spaghetti breakfast, and I felt like I was a kid interviewing a childhood hero and idol in broadcasting, because this is what I wanted to do my whole life. And I had a chance to sit down and talk to him and have a conversation with him for about 20 minutes that I, to this day, hold absolutely precious. And what I want to do tonight is focus on John Cigna and what he's meant to KDKA and the mark that he left, and kind of go back in time and give him an opportunity to tell some of the stories. And then also we'll talk to Larry Richard a little bit later on as he carries on the tradition of the spaghetti breakfast that was started with John. Ernie Ricci from Ricci's Italian Sausage. A lot of great stories to tell regarding the relationship that he's had and had with John over the years. And we'll also be talking with Judy Yankee, producer of his, going back to when he hosted Nights. And then when he came over to the mornings, she worked with him as well. So I want to go back to the interview that I had with him and kind of go all the way back to the beginning. How does a broadcasting legend like John Cigna. What got him into radio in the first place? Well, we're about to find out.
I was home, and all my buddies were going into the service. They were taking OCS school, Officer Candidate School. My mother heard Jack Lacey on the radio. She said, why don't you go and see what this broadcast school is all about? I said, Ma, what am I going to do in broadcasting? You got to be crazy. So, please her, I went in. Cambridge School of Radio Broadcasting. And I took a tour. And after the tour, I said to the guy giving us the tour, you get paid for this? He said, yeah. I said, I'm signing up. I didn't know you got paid for talking. So my mother, you know, would say, that's wonderful because you like to fool around all the time anyway. Might as well get paid for it.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, it was fine.
Not a bad idea at all. During the 90th celebration, we put together a couple of pieces of that conversation and kind of put it all together in a, with a bunch of promotion elements, and it sounded just like this.
I was doing Duquesne basketball at the time, and I was doing sports in the morning on WJAS. KDK called me, Alan Mitchell. Said, do you want to come over here and do a talk show? I said, you know, I really have never done a talk show. He's come on over, put you on 9 to midnight. So he did.
John, what were you trying to do with your show?
What I wanted to do on talk radio was hit the people that things were happening to. So nowadays, you know, constantly they're talking about Obama. I think everybody's running against Nancy Pelosi. I want to do something that's more tuned to the people.
Then I asked him to name someone that he interviewed outside the norm for traditional talk radio.
We did Marilyn Chambers from The Green Door. And she got on and she said, you know, I do my best interviews in the nude.
Hello.
I says, well, I don't think we can do that.
Good thing John's interview was on radio and not television, huh?
Person out there I haven't interviewed in 28 years. There's something wrong. I interviewed everybody. You name a person, I interviewed them.
Cigna in the K-Team, every morning on KDKA, Pittsburgh.
And we will get to that aspect of John Cigna when he took over the mornings. But first, I want to welcome to the show Judy Yankee, who is was a longtime producer with John Cigna, starting off with nights and then going to with him when he went over to host of mornings as well. And Judy joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Judy, what was it like being able to hear John again for a couple of minutes?
It makes me sad, but it brings back so many good memories. Really.
Talk about, let's start off with the night show. What do you remember most about working with him at nights?
Okay, John was the type of talk show host who would prepare everything. He would just read paper after paper after paper and prepare everything, and he'd have all these little notes written down and all these little slips of paper, and he would keep them in a little box, right? Just a little box.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a funny story. One night, and you know, Roy Fox was on before him, and Roy and John got along great together. They were always pulling practical jokes on one another. So the one evening, and John would, right before he would go on the air, he would have a little nap. And we didn't call it nap, but it was like, I'm going to go in and prepare. Don't disturb me. Wake me up 10 minutes before showtime so he could go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Roy comes out and says, Judy, don't wake him up. I'm like, what? He goes, let's see how long he sleeps. I said, really? He said, yeah, let's do it. So didn't wake John up. Roy started John's show and let the audience know what we were doing. Oh, John's prepping back there. Hey, folks, he's fast asleep. So they gave me a live mic, and I went in, and I'm like, John, what are you doing? It's showtime. You slept in. he jumps up and he would keep that little box on his stomach while he slept. The box goes flying. The paper goes flying. He goes flying into the studio and he goes, this is a joke, right? And it's like, look at the time. It's 9:20 already. Well, I never lived that one down, and I always remember to wake him up 10 minutes before showtime.
Oh, that is fantastic. Judy Yankee, longtime producer of John Cigna, joining us. Please stick around. There's more I want to talk to you about. We are looking back at the life of John Cigna and his career here at KDKA, and it continues coming up next on KDKA Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
Once again, we are taking a look back at KDKA's history. 100 years officially this November, but every single Wednesday, all the way through the rest of the year, we're going to take an hour and a tribute and a look back on many different angles. However, this week, it's about John Cigna, and we are talking with a longtime producer for John, Judy Yankee, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. And Judy, if you would, go back to when he was still hosting nights, and what was special and peculiar about him, and do you think that the way that he did his show then would fit in to how talk radio is traditionally done now?
Well, John was kind of like, it was funny because John's motto was don't volunteer any information to anybody. We kind of did our own thing at night. And John kind of was like, at times, the bad boy of the radio station. So it was, you know, all right, I went to him and I said, how about there's this woman that wrote this book, Dr. Ruth Westheimer. I said, she's a sex therapist. What do you think? I don't know. I said, let me book her for an hour. So John's theory was we would only book a person for an hour, and if he liked the person, they would stay over for a second hour. So I just booked Dr. Ruth up front for 2 hours because I just knew that they would get along. And that was kind of out there. It was kind of like shocking to the listeners, but in a very fun way. And John absolutely loved Dr. Ruth.
Oh, I bet he did. Now, interesting, it goes back to the comment he made when I was interviewing him 10 years ago at the spaghetti breakfast. And was it common for women to want to undress in front of him?
Well, I don't know about undress, but he had some crazy fans.
Okay.
The one time we did and John would come up with all these crazy zany remotes that he wanted to do. We did a housewives cruise on the Gateway Clipper fleet. And we invited housewives on, and mm-hmm. one woman came and handcuffed herself to him.
Come on.
No, truly. We literally had to go over, and I had to say, come on, please, give me the key. I mean, it was getting to be a bit uncomfortable. I mean, so he really had some crazy fans out there.
I bet he did. How old were you when you first started working with him?
Oh, my gosh.
Am I allowed to ask that question?
You're dating me now.
I'm
here,
sorry.
I must have been in my early 20s when I started working for John. And he, it was kind of funny because he treated me as if I was his daughter. Because, you know, John had the four boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like the little daughter that he would protect. All, you know, teaching me radio and everything. So, we had a blast at night. We really did.
I bet you did. When you think back to that time, would you like people to know about John that maybe they don't?
John loved the radio station, absolutely loved the radio station. Those call letters, KDKA, were the love of his life. Second, I would have to say, would be the show, his own show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but he loved that radio station. Third, and I think the kids would realize this, was his family, Pat and the four boys. And then, you know, he had loves. You know, it was, first of all, he had a boat, and he loved his boat. Then he loved golfing. Then he loved his Mercedes. Then he loved his Harley Davidson motorcycle.
Yes.
I mean, and literally, I would be driving. The one time I was driving down into town from the North Hills, and John was in front of me with his hands up in the air and the, you know, little butt on the bike. It was hilarious, but he loved that motorcycle, loved it. But John, you know, as tough as he could be on the radio as a talk show host, he was actually a teddy bear, really.
Really?
Yeah, really. And he absolutely adored his family. He really did.
One of the things that I remember most about him as a talk show host at night, because I was very young. I mean, I was a teenager back when he was really clicking then, was listening to him and the way that he would go through callers and then let them go. And he would just give out the station phone number as he was doing that.
To people. He would just, you know, you're stupid, done.
Yes.
Give out the call letter, done. And then the people would call me back up and say, oh, I think John accidentally cut me off. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, we're moving on to another topic. They didn't even realize that John had hung up on them.
Yes. It's interesting, too. Of all the phone numbers that I remember from back when I was a kid, the call-in number to KDK, I listened so much, and he used to give it so much when he would hang up on people. I still have it burned into my memory, 412-353-9393.
Yeah.
As soon as he'd hang up on them, and get the station call letters, and here's the phone number, and on to the next thing. I just used to love to listen to him at nighttime.
Absolutely. He was a broadcasting legend, really.
He sure was. You also produced with him in the morning show, too.
I did, and that was those were some pretty exciting days, going from being a talk show host sometimes, you know, being kind of rude and, you know, having unions against you, and sometimes having a police escort, you know, taking you home, to going in the morning. And that was a tough time. Could John, as kind of a tough talk show host, go into that, hi, John Cigna in the morning, I'm waking you up in the morning, kind of be like a nice, fuzzy little guy? and we did it, and it was amazing.
Judy Yankee. Judy, I know I asked you originally to stay till the bottom of the hour. Can you give me a little bit more time?
Absolutely.
Because I'd love to talk to you about some of the things that John is best known for, and it's once he went to the mornings and some of the bits that he did, the promotions that he did, and so much more. Judy Yankee, longtime producer of John Cigna, joining us. More of a look back on the 100 years of KDKA coming up in a moment on KDKA Radio.
KDK Radio presents the Budweiser Fantasy Play-by-Play, and anybody can do it, even Goose.
John, it was great. I got to call the plays. Here's LaValliere. He's stealing second base.
Goose, get to the point.
Aw, come on, John. If you've only dreamed about announcing a Pirates game, that dream can come true.
And you and a friend can call the play-by-play action of a live Pirates home game under professional broadcasting conditions. And you can even get to take home a videotape of the recording session. You could be a TV announcer and receive a VHS videotape of all the action plus shots of you in the booth. Or you could be a radio announcer, receive an audio cassette of your performance. Go solo or bring a friend. It's only $25 per person per inning for a VHS videotape, or $50 per inning for you and a friend.
John, come on, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I can see it now. Goslin and Cigna.
No, Goose, it's going to be Cigna and Goslin.
Aw, John.
For reservations, call 323-5026. The Budweiser Fantasy Play-by-Play, only from the station that you love, KDK Radio 1020.
Great stuff. John Cigna, Cigna and the K-Team, Judy Yankee joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. That transition of going from nights to mornings, what was that like?
It was easy. It really was. John was a little tired at first, but we did it. It was okay. But before we went there, it was like we had to sit, we had a plan, what name were we going to call it? So we would just, like, we sat around and we brainstormed with management, and we were coming up with all these crazy names. And at the time, the A-Team, I don't know if you remember that. That was a show that was on TV with Mr. T. And I'm like, well, what about the K-Team? And then, you know, the one manager said, wait a minute, K-Team? K-Team? And it was the K-Team.
That is so cool. Now, what about, let's go back and talk about some of the things that he did in the morning, little bits that he pulled and different things like that. What are some that stand out in your memory?
Okay, the biggest one that stands out in my mind was April Fool's. Mm-hmm. And we had done things like, oh, there's an alligator in the solar system. You know, we did that. But this
Well, that happens decided, now, though.
Pardon me?
That happens.
That does happen. No, I know. I know. But we decided, okay, fine, how about a spaceship crashed into North Park. No, come on, nobody would think of that. Come on, yeah, everybody would know. So we had Harry O'Toole, who was a staff member of the station, called in, and he was the general talking about, oh, this, we don't know what it is, it crashed. My mother called up and said, I live outside of North Park, and the deer are going in circles. What's going on? But we didn't realize that they were doing some sort of maneuvers with Army vehicles that were heading north on 79. So it's just like the phones were blowing up. I saw this and I saw that. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, we're cracking up. We think it's hilarious. Until the wire service picked the story up and called in to get a comment from me or a comment from Dave James at the time or a comment from John, because no other station had it. And then Rick Starr, who was the general manager at the time, came in and said, you know, it's on the wires, and corporate in New York called me. Well, what's going on? And it was all made up. So it kind of went a little too far.
Just a little bit. So
yeah,
listeners were
calling.
Let me make sure I understand this. Listeners that weren't in on this at all
were
believing it and then called in and somehow said something that was in support of what it was you guys were doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I saw a deer in my yard acting weird. Something's going on. And I live next to North Park, and I saw a military vehicle go up the road. So, I mean, like, everything played into it. And we're sitting there laughing, not realizing that you know, they were doing maneuvers of some sort.
Yeah. Judy Yankee joining us, longtime producer for John Cigna. One of the things that many people may remember about John is that commercial that he did when he was on a helicopter. When I had the chance to sit down with him, I want you to comment on this, Judy, when we come back from this. I'm going to play this real quick. John Cigna and his memory of shooting that commercial.
Let me tell you a story. The helicopter was at the airport, Campbell Airport, I think it was. And they told me to stand on the strut, and they would strap me in, and we're going to go real low by the airport. So I said, fine, you know, but I don't like heights anyway. So what happened was we were like 5 feet off the ground, which was fine. And the cameraman was lying on the ground shooting up, like the helicopter was way up. And I was watching him standing on the strut of the helicopter. And the cameraman kept pointing up, up. Before you know it, we're as high as the telephone poles. Now I'm going to get naked. Never mind. up, as high as the poles. At the end of Campbell Airport, there's a big drop where the planes take off. There's like, it looks like a 2 mile drop into the, because Campbell Airport sits on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So the cameraman told us to make a turn. We did. But the turn had to be wide, and it had to go over that that end of the runway. And I looked down, and it was like 17 miles to the ground. And that's when I said, that's it, goodbye. I didn't go past the steel building. That wasn't me. I was a stuntman. But all the other things I did do.
Wow. That was an interview, if you're just joining us, that I had a chance to do at the Spaghetti Breakfast in 2010 after I first had come on to KDK myself. My opportunity to sit down and interview John Cigna. And Judy, do you remember that commercial? Were you with him then?
I was with the station, and I was with him, but I didn't go on that shoot. I remember a couple of the other ones that I went to where he was hanging from the clock over on the south side.
Okay.
From the building, I remember that one, as well as we did one that was in kind of the newsroom area where Fred Hansberger literally spilled a cup of coffee on John. Well, we had to do take after take after take of that, and it wasn't coffee, it was Coca-Cola, but Fred was getting into it to spill the coffee on John. So, I mean, it was, we had a blast filming those commercials.
I bet.
John dressed up as a tomato. It just goes on and on.
Judy Yankee, once again, joining us, a longtime producer for John Cigna on KDKA. Judy, thank you so much for helping us go down memory lane for a little bit.
Robert, it was my pleasure.
Absolutely. Judy, thank you. Judy Yankee joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. When we come back, we're going to talk to Larry Richard. Larry taking over for John, and he has his own stories about the experiences with John, and especially that transition of going from John Cigna mornings to Larry Richard mornings. We'll give you details and talk to Larry coming up next on KDK Radio.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we start.
KDK Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for tuning in as we look back at KDKA and 100 years officially in November, and every Wednesday at 8 o'clock all the way through the rest of the year, we will be taking different looks back and reminiscing about the history of KDKA. With us right now, Larry Richard. You are on all the time, Larry.
Am I still up, Robert?
I can't get over that you still are, and I really do appreciate this. As we're remembering John Cigna, can you go back to when you first met John and first began to work with him?
You know, I had a television show in the morning on KDK-TV, and the radio studio where we were located at that time in Gateway 1 had a door from the second floor that would open and overlook the television studio. So Cigna, being the prankster that he was, and this is at a time when I had the morning TV show, and then I would spend 4 hours between John Cigna and Trish Beatty playing records back when KDK was still rolling the hits. Mm-hmm. So Cigna would open that door, and he would time yelling things out when I was on TV. And then one morning he came down, and Dave James, the anchor man, and the crew, you know, they kind of just, I guess, flash mob me live on TV. So that's kind of how I was indoctrinated to the humor and style of John Cigna.
When you take us back to when you were taking over for John, can you go back and recount that story for us? You know, John's looking at retiring, and they're looking for someone to replace him. And it ended up being you and that big reveal coming in on the Harley and all. Can you take us back to that?
I was doing the weather for 10 years on KDK-TV after I had left radio. When radio went talk, I was the last guy to play a record on a show during the week. And I played American Pie the day the music died. And then for a short stint, I did a talk show, imagine this, Robert, where they didn't want me to take phone calls. So it wasn't much of a talk show. And then Pintech filled in for me on vacation, and he goes, the hell with this, I'm taking calls. Well, he took over that show, so I transitioned fully to TV. So I'm doing the weather, and, you know, I had little kids at the time. I'm working that night shift, and I was spending little time with my family. And I thought, God, I got to make a change or I'm never going to see my kids grow up. And I talked to the late Ray Tannehill, who was on TV, and I said, Ray, how long did you do the 11 o'clock news? In other words, nights on TV. And he said, 18 years, I believe. And he said, there's no amount of money that would get me to do that again. And man, that really resonated with me. So I was praying for a change, because in this business, you usually have to leave town, you know, to make a change like that. And the phone rang, and it was the general manager at the time, Michael Young, who said, this is on the QT, but John Cigna is going to retire. Would you consider taking over? And even though KDK TV and radio were owned by the same company back then, it was still, you know, I worked for TV. So it took a while to work all the details out. So they wanted to have a big buildup. And I was supposed to, since Cigna was a big Harley rider, Cigna riders, and he had quite a following with the bikers, they said, we want you to roll into the fountain area at Gateway 1 on a Harley Fat Boy. And so, and we don't want to see who you are, so we got a helmet that had the tinted shield that I could pull down so you wouldn't see who I was. And they gave me one of those old-fashioned radio silk jackets, and I had to test ride. Now, I rode dirt bikes, but I didn't have a street bike, and so I knew how to ride a motorcycle, but they were so concerned that I was going to mow people over, and everybody kept asking me, are you going to be all right? I said, hey, if Cigna can do it, I can ride this bike. And even the morning of, so here we are for the big reveal. I'm going to roll in and live on the air. We'll peel off my shield, and this will be the big announcement. So the cops, the city cops, the motorcycle guys, they go, you're going to be all right. I said, do I look that inept? Maybe I did. And anyway, so I ended up pulling up, and it was Bobby Wright. You know, the Wright family, and it was his Harley Fat Boy that we borrowed. And would you believe the cop says, hey, your registration is outdated. And Cigna goes, give him a ticket. Give him a ticket right now. So they wrote me up a ticket right there on the spot. But when they pulled back, you know, the shield for the reveal, Cigna goes, Larry Richard, I thought I wanted somebody who – you know, rides motorcycles and was Italian-American. And I said, well, I hardly ride, and I married an Italian-American woman. So I was in. And he was very gracious. You know what? And I was so concerned about taking over for a legend like that. I mean, Cigna, 18 years in the morning, 10 before that doing night talk. And he was legendary, who followed Jack Bogart, you know. And
right.
Jack came in the late 60s. So finally, I thought to myself, you know, everybody's going to say, well, he's not John Cigna, and I am not. And I didn't want to try to be somebody I'm not. Appreciated him for his talent. But then, Robert, that was 5 days before September 11th. So when I started going on the air, the world had changed. Mm-hmm. Not unlike what we're going through now, where we were navigating through heavy news every day. And you didn't know where the next day was going to go. So it was an extraordinary time, an extraordinary transition.
The biggest thing that John may be remembered for is the spaghetti breakfast. And Ernie Ricci from Ricci's Italian Sausage is joining us as well on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. And Larry, set us up taking over that role. What was that like for you?
Well, you know, I talked to John about that, and he said, listen, do me a favor. He said, you got to keep this thing going. This is so fun. It's so good. And I said, John, this is absolutely. Even when I was doing morning TV, we went over and kind of invaded the spaghetti breakfast then in Market Square, and it was fantastic. I couldn't believe how many people showed up. And Ernie Ricci with the sausage. And who likes spaghetti for breakfast? But it was terrific, and it still is today, and we've carried that on. And the other thing he said, and make sure you invite Jimmy Sapienza and Five Guys Named Mo. So we've still have Jimmy. I don't know that all five guys. We've had a few guys like Kenny Blake and Keith Stebler and guys over the years, but it's been a great tradition that we're proud that we continued. Ernie, how you doing, my man?
Ernie is, I think we're going to have a setup to where I'm sure that Ernie was able to hear all of that. Ernie Ricci, Ricci's Italian Sausage. Ernie, you have a really great story of how you first met John and then got into this spaghetti breakfast that you're still involved in all the way to this day.
Well, first of all, Larry, I remember the Harley. I remember Larry pulling up on a Harley. I was there that day, and it was great. But I met John Cigna. It was Columbus Day. 1997 is when I had the opportunity to feed him at 6 o'clock in the morning. And through Tamara, you know, I was brought upstairs and I had to have the food ready to eat at 6 o'clock when Bob Coppler did the news because Cigna had 9 minutes to eat. Okay. And there'd be forks, napkins, flying food, everything you can imagine until that news break was over. And then he was back on the air again. I started the spaghetti breakfast in 1998, but I had the opportunity to feed John Cigna up until the day he retired. And it was a labor of love. It was amazing. It was a pleasure to do that.
Ernie, am I recalling correctly that he would call you out on the air, not call you privately, just call you out?
He would just call me out, and he would say, anybody see Ernie Ritchie? If you see Ernie Ritchie, tell him I can use some sausage. And people would stop me. People would stop me at the gas station, the grocery store, and say, hey, John Cigna's looking for you. And I'd say, come on, really? And then Tamara would give me a call and said, okay, tomorrow. And then I would shoot up there. At that time, you know, and we were downtown in Gateway. I'd have to take the elevator up to 3 and then the back steps down to 2. And then Tamara would let me in the door, and I'd be lugging all this food in to feed Cigna. It was great. And you know what?
Good stuff.
I got the call when he rolled the motorcycle with John Burnett. When he rolled the motorcycle and he had an accident. 2-3 days later, I get a call from the family. He's in the hospital. He says, hey, my dad wants you to bring food up so you can feed the nurses, him, and a couple other people on the floor. And I did. You know, that was classic John Cigna.
There you go.
It was classic.
Absolutely. Ernie, thank you so much for joining us and helping us remember John Cigna. And Larry, the tradition of morning radio on KDKA continues, as important now as it's ever been. And you're back at it tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, right?
Right. And I thought of my new partner, Kevin Battle, who came from New York City 2 weeks ago. And look at how the world has changed. And it's eerily similar in the sense he starts a new job and it's, you know, all hands on deck. And the focus is the story of the moment, which is changing minute by minute. So thank you, Robert. But nice to think of lighter times and fun times with John Cigna.
Absolutely. Larry, thank you very much. I want to wrap this up with a tribute, an obit. Longtime newscaster Barbara Boylan here on KDKA Radio wrote this and produced this at John's passing.
In 28 years on KDKA Radio, 18 of them on the morning show, the best word to describe John Cigna was irrepressible. His pranks, his sense of humor, his love of food. I mean, you haven't lived until you've eaten cold calamari salad at 5 a.m., where the bane of management and the stuff of legend. When the building manager began rationing paper towels and toilet paper, John announced it on the air. Next thing you know, there's a tractor trailer filled with paper products sitting outside the studio. When he moved to the morning show, it was christened Cigna and the K-Team, then renamed The Morning News with John Cigna in the late 90s. He created the annual spaghetti breakfast in downtown Pittsburgh, actually the brainchild of KDKA's then-afternoon host, Trish Beatty. He was a tireless booster for the Little Sisters of the Poor, and he hated walking. He would try to drive carts onto putting greens at golf clubs. John even took a cab from Gateway Center to the old Horn store, half a block away, during one children's hospital campaign. On December 21st, 2001, John signed off for the last time on the KDKA Morning Show. But we still saw him. He'd come to the station to do commercials. He was still a big part of the annual spaghetti breakfast. John survived motorcycle accidents, even about with cancer. He seemed indestructible until his wife Pat died in January. John loved telling stories, and perhaps his greatest gift is that so many of us, family, friends, colleagues, listeners, all have a John Cigna story to tell. He'd like that. Barbara Boylan, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Hey, I want to say to the people, thank you. It's been a great run. There's no question about it. So, you know, thank you all. I'll talk to you on a night show or whatever, and it's been great, really. I love you all. Thank you. I'm John Cigna for the KDKA Morning News. Have yourself a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.